Grab a Bible, open it. There's a Bible in every row, first and last seat. If you have your phone, turn out to your Bible app. There's a Bible app that you can download. Now, the danger of using a Bible app is that during service, you're tempted to swipe right and left to check your messages, right? Your social media. So that's the danger of using a Bible app during church. So I highly encourage having the Bible in front of you, okay? So you're not going to be tempted. We're in the book of Joshua. In the last 2 weeks, you heard the introduction and the ending of Joshua. Thank you, David Ben, for covering that last week. So when I spoke 2 weeks ago, it was the introduction of Joshua. And then when David spoke, he spoke the last chapter of Joshua. We did that on purpose because everything in between Joshua, it's about hope. So when Joshua entering into this promised land, it's about faith. Like he has to muster up all kinds of faith to enter into the promised land. And you heard last week, at the end of the book of Joshua, there's these famous verses that everyone hangs in their house. If you're a good Christian, you should have this. And, if you live in Delaware, you definitely have this with these barn doors, homes, and for some reason, there is like this underlining competition between myself and the Bettons, that no matter what they do at their home, I'm doing exactly at my house. So they got these barn doors hung. I'm going to get barn doors this week. And then I'm going to get that barn door starred. And I don't have, as for me in my house, I will serve the Lord. But I'm going to get that this week as well. Okay, so every time I go over to the Bettons' house, I'm like, huh, when did they get that? I should get that this week. But there's like this competition going on. But as for, you heard the famous verse, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Those are the, you're a good Christian. You should have that in your homes, right? But I don't have one. So anyways, it's okay. But today we're going to tackle Joshua. I had this huge passage scripture from verse 7 all the way to the end of the chapter to share with you today. But in my study, there's just too much meat in verse 7 through 9. So as I'm writing, I just got to focus on this, and then the rest can come next week. So Joshua chapter 1, beginning verse 7. We're going to cover three verses today, and that's it, and then you get to go home. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. You have your Bible, turn there. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Your attention up here. They are not in the promised land yet. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. The book of Joshua is a book of conquest. It's violent. It's war. It's God's judgment because of their disobedience, a lot of killing, a lot of disagreement that you might come across that doesn't fit your human personality in the 20th century. The book of Joshua is ugly. They haven't gone into the promise. This is them camping out. If you Google, it looks like this on the map. So the circle is where Joshua is right now, okay? The Jordan is right in between. They're getting ready to go into the promised land, the land called Canaan, okay? Here's a little nugget side note for you. That's going to be my sermon next week. At the exact location where Joshua entered into the promised land, it's the exact location where Jesus was crucified. I just want you to know that. You're going to hear that next week. The book of Joshua is a foreshadowing of Jesus. The exact location where they go into the promised land, delivering people. It's the exact location where Jesus was crucified. This is a book of conquest. It takes about 7 years before they even enjoy the promised land. 7 years they camp out in that exact location. They're getting ready to go to war. This was his battle speech. Joshua's encouragement and commands to the people was to be strong and courageous. Keep the book of the law on their lips. Meditate on it day and night. There is great danger ahead. Once they crossed into Canaan, there is great danger ahead. But they're in the promised land. They're no longer slave in Egypt. New life is ahead. This should be exciting. What is the danger, Joshua? What's with the speech? The great danger ahead is themselves. He reminds them that when it comes to following God, you have to have tunnel vision. When it comes to following God, you have to have tunnel vision. The book of the law he's referring to is it's the famous Ten Commandments from Moses. But beyond that, it's called the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. A good Jewish boy would memorize the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch by the age of 13. That's how seriously the Jewish people take this word and say, memorize it, meditate on it day and night. Let it ooze out of your lips and who you are. Don't look right. Don't look left. As an Israelite, you're about to go into battle. You expect the greatest danger to be the enemy, the Canaanites, or the risk of God abandoning you. Or the possibility of injury, death, or going right back into slavery. The encouragement to be strong and courageous is not about opposition, but it's about them looking right, looking left, forgetting the one true God. They're getting ready to go into battle. The encouragement is not to do 20 push-ups a day or every 5 minutes to build the muscles to fight. The encouragement is not to run the mile so you can be in shape to bear the armor and run after your enemy. The encouragement is not to practice your body to be able to take the extreme heat or the extreme cold or less of sleep. The encouragement here is not about army training at all. The encouragement here is don't look right, don't look left, because the fear is themselves turning left, turning right, and not focusing on the one true God. Timothy Bowes is an author. He wrote in the book Light Steps, and he told this story about Yogi Berra. Any of you guys know Yogi Berra? Who is he? He's a catcher for, he's a catcher for the New York Yankees. How many of you guys are Yankees fans in here? Do the Marlins still exist? I know. Do we still have a baseball team named Marlins in Florida? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I should be a Marlins fan, you know. But, so the catcher, Yogi Berra, the catcher for the Yankees in the World Series, there's another guy. He plays for the Milwaukee Braves. You know this guy, Hank Aaron. How many guys know Hank Aaron? All right, some baseball fans in here. So in the World Series, Hank Aaron walked up to Yogi Berra, who was the catcher, and Hank Aaron wheeling it up. Okay, Yogi Berra was famous for distracting the hitter. That's what he's famous for. He talks to him, he makes fun of him, he tells jokes, he talks to the batter in the middle of just a competition. So in this particular incident in the World Series, Yogi would say to Hank Aaron, "Hey Hank, you're holding that bat wrong. You need to spin the bat around to where you can see the brand, the brand of the bat that you'll be able to read it. That's how you hold the bat. Hank, you're holding the bat wrong." The next pitch comes in. Hank Aaron swung, and it was a home run. And Hank passed all the bases, and he came back, and he looked at Yogi in the eyes, and he says, and I quote, "I didn't come up here to read." Our problem, our biggest problems in life is this. It's not what's out there. It's not the distraction, it's not the whisper, it's not people telling you what. Our biggest problem is when we stop having tunnel vision for God. We begin to look right, we begin to look left. We listen to the whispers of life. Try this, buy that. You are not good enough. You're too good for that. Your God is too mean. Try this God. This guy, it's a little bit nicer. Don't you? Why do you have to go to church on Sunday? Don't you just want to sit in the beach and say, life is good? Don't you want to do that instead? Why? Your spirituality based on this old book, why are you doing that? So our problem is that we listen to the whispers of the world and as ourselves, and we start to look right and we start to look left. We stop having tunnel vision in the one true God. And sometimes, you might be shocked by this. We interpret God's word to fit our own personal lifestyle. Not me. Yes, us. Me, you. Joshua, before going to battle, he didn't say, go do 10 push-ups in morning and night. Go run 2 miles, which is what I encourage my girls' basketball team to do. Every single day, run 2 miles to get you in shape. By the way, let's take a commercial break, okay? I started coaching girls' basketball at Boca Christian last year because they needed help. I came in, I got a bunch of middle school kids playing a varsity roster. We won one game in overtime. It was heartbreaking because we won one game, one for 20-something. The whole season was stressful. Makes me look like I'm a loser. By the way, we're playing for the district championship this Thursday at 7 o'clock. I hope you guys can come out and watch, okay? How do you like that plug for a commercial? Let's get back to the Bible. Listen, don't turn right, don't turn left. The encouragement from Joshua to his people, it wasn't about let's get a six-pack and let's stay in shape. It was about don't look right, don't look left. You got to have tunnel vision because God is going to fight their battle. Look what he said. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it right or to the left that you may be successful in wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This statement from Joshua requires a whole lot of faith and hanging on to the hope. Joshua has no idea what's across that Jordan River. He has no idea how he's going to get over 500,000 people to cross the Jordan. He has no idea how long it's going to take. He has no idea how strong the Canaanites are. He has no idea what it's going to look like in the promised land. He has no idea how many men he's going to lose. He has no idea if these people are going to listen to him when they get into the promised land. He has no idea how thick the wall of Jericho is going to be. And all he has is his faith in God, in God's promises that he's going to fight their battles. And some of us, if not all of us, is in the same boat as Joshua. We have no idea what lies ahead. We have no idea what's going to happen when you walk out these doors today. You have no idea at home when you stop getting out of your bed and stop watching the sermon in your bed right now, warm, where all of us are here are cold. I know you're comfortable at home. You feel bad yet? A lot of us in the same, we have no idea what tomorrow's going to look like. The only thing we have is our faith in God's promises that he is going to fight our battles. And you should know that, and you should know that, you should be reminded of that, that God will always, and he will, and he has, will fight your battles. Amen? That's all he had. And he's telling his people, be strong and courageous, and you're going to be prosperous. Now, a lot of us will interpret this and say, so I just got to believe in God and I'll be rich. Successful and prosperous, that's what it said. So I just got to believe in God, any God. Any God. Just the word God. As long as I mention the word God, I'll be rich and prosperous. Maybe I'll throw some slangs in there. The man upstairs. The Almighty. The big guy. That's all I have to do is be rich and prosperous. Stop. God doesn't work that way. And the Bible doesn't work that way. The real riches in life, I want you to tune in and listen to this. If you're watching this at home, tune in. The real riches in life is this, is a peace of mind that the God of the universe is on your side. That's the real riches in life. The riches that you have, yeah, is your hard work, your education. You get up at 5, you work out, you go to work on time, you be nice to your boss, you turn your reports in on time, you get paid according to your work. That's riches, the worldly riches. And sometimes God will bless you for the things that you do. There's nothing wrong with that. Make a lot of money. You should. You work hard. But the real riches in life is a peace of mind that the God of the universe, it's on your side. Keep this close to your heart. Read it day and night. Meditate on it. Don't turn away from it, and then you will be prosperous wherever you go. When it comes to God, gang, have tunnel vision. Know that He is fighting your battles, because the real riches in life is a peace of mind. No matter what happens, your eyes are on God. Your faith is in His power. Your hope is in His promises. No matter what happens in life, your faith, it's in His power. And your hope, it's in His promises. The promised land is already given to the people of Israel, to the nation of it. God is going to do that. The only fear that Joshua had and God had for them was, don't look right, don't look left. You're going to face many temptations. As David shared last week, moving from Pennsylvania to here, in Pennsylvania, I heard everyone just covers everything, right? Like, just down here, you go to the beach and you're like, come on! What happened to one-piece bathing suit? Do they make those anymore? It's a culture we live in. In Pennsylvania, you walk out of your house, there's a barn. Down here, you walk out of your house, you see your house bigger than yours. In Pennsylvania, you get out of your house on your bicycle. Do you guys live like that? I don't know how you live in Pennsylvania. You're like you're just riding your bike. You know, you walk out of your house and you ride your bike down the street, and the guy next to you has a 3-wheel instead of 2. Down here, you run into guys, your car is, you know, backing smoke, making noise, pop, 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 boom. And the guy right next to you is driving a, you know, I can't even pronounce those cards. But they're nice. They're nice. That's nothing wrong. They work hard. They make money. That's great. But the temptation is great for these people. You're going to enter into the promised land. There's going to be beautiful women at the Canaanite women. There's going to be beautiful landscape and food that you're going to get to eat, but stay away. They're going to tell you other gods that they worship. They're going to tell you a God who are a lot more entertaining and fun and with no obligations on your part. But stay right. Don't turn right. Don't turn left. Stay focused from the one true God. 1,600 years later, at the same exact location where they go from the camp into Canaan, which is Jerusalem, Jesus sets foot on the scene. John chapter 16, verse 32. A time is coming, and in fact, not yet. When production goes wrong in church, a time is coming, and in fact, it has come, when you will be scattered, each of you, to your home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The book of Joshua is foreshadowing for what Jesus is going to do. Joshua led the people, the nation of Israel, into the promised land. In a sense, it's a foreshadowing of heaven as Jesus leading us into heaven. He fought our battles. He took away our sins. He rose from the dead. Real riches in life is a peace of mind that Jesus Christ had taken away our sins. In heaven, it's real, and it's a real place that we're going to go to as long as you continue to have your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? The God of the universe continue to fight your battles. And all we have to do is keep the faith. Meditate on this and maintain tunnel vision in Jesus. He says a time is coming. In fact, it has come. You're going to be scattered into your homes. And each of you are going to have to stay homes for whatever reason. You will leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. His encouragement to you, I have told you these things. Because in this world, you're going to have trouble. But have peace. Have peace. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Let's band come forward. If I can replay the setting in the book of Joshua, it would go a little something like this. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. Let's stand up. Let's pretend you're the army. You're the people. Let's stand up for a second. And Joshua stands in front of his people. And he's going to go, guys, what's out there? It's scary. I don't know what the Canaanites going to look like. They might have giants. They may have weapons they've never seen before. And your temptation is going to be great. You're going to be tempted with all kinds of worldly things out there. Satan is real, and he's going to try to pull you away from God. He's going to tempt your marriage. He's going to tempt your finances. And he's going to tempt all kinds of relationships. He's going to pull you away from all the things that you really want in life. Is sitting in the front porch with a little fireplace with just you and your family. And that your kids will behave in the schools they go to, that the teacher is going to treat them well. But you're going to be tempted. An unexpected sickness. A death in the family. A job loss. Or an unhealthy baby. Those things will happen because in this life, sin happens and sin is real. But take hold of my words, hear the word of God. Have tunnel vision. Guys, you're going to walk out these doors and you watching at home, you're going to face something. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey my law, my servant Moses have gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Don't be so busy that you forget to open God's word and read it. Don't be so busy that you forget to kiss your wife and your loved ones before they go off to work or go off to school. Don't be so busy that you can't come home for dinner. Don't be so busy. Keep this word, meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And as you leave here today, have I not commanded you to be strong
and courageous. To know how to say, no, that's not true. No, that's not good for my family. No, that's not good for my body. I don't want to take that. I don't want to drink that. I don't want to look at that. And no, my wife, my husband, it's good enough. Be strong and courageous. Learn how to say no to other gods. Learn how to say no to the things that's going to distract you from your families. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Sickness is going to happen. Temptation is going to happen. But let me tell you something. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen? The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God, we give you thanks. We thank you for the opportunity for us to get together in worship. That we lift our eyes to you as the author and the perfecter of our faith. God, help us to be strong and courageous. Hold on to hope, because our faith is in your power. Our peace, it's knowing that you fight our battles. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. You never made a decision for God, for Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, who died on the cross for your sins. Today could be your day. You never been baptized. We have a baptistry here in the back. We have clothes for you to change into as well. Make that decision for God. Today could be a brand new day for you. I invite you to come forward. I'll be here to meet you. But there's something going on in your life that you just need prayers for. Our elders will be up here to pray for you, to pray with you. And I'll be up here to pray for you and with you as well. Whatever the decision may be, I ask you to make a decision this morning. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.